When you're given a sentence, your first instinct is to read left to right in order to comprehend the meaning of those words. And we do that by understanding how the words inside the sentence actually relate to each other. For example, take the sentence, I saw Nathan under the fig tree. Now you can actually squeeze out many facts from this one sentence. Nathan was under the fig tree. The tree I saw was a fig tree. I saw Nathan. I saw the fig tree. I saw both Nathan and the fig tree. But how is this possible where multiple facts can be drawn from the same sentence? Depending on where you put the emphasis on a given sentence, you can actually derive different variations of the sentence while keeping the facts straight. For example, if you start the sentence with Nathan, because you understand how the word Nathan relates to, let's say, the fig tree, you can actually formulate a sentence that says Nathan was under the fig tree. And this seems like a good way to extract meaning from the sentence, but how do we exactly relay this skill to a computer? Transformers attempt this by computing scores on how one word relates to every other word in a given sentence. That way, no matter what word we look at, we can still augment the meaning of that sentence by looking at the context that it was used in. Prior to Transformers, we approached this by reading the sentence word by word sequentially, meaning that instead of modeling how each word in a given sentence relates to every other word, it reads them word by word and stores information from previous tokens by using what's called a hidden state that acts like a memory that was carried forward to subsequent words. This was called recurrent neural network. Now, you might think, man, why didn't they just start with Transformers? This seems like an obvious choice to me. Although recurrent neural networks had gone through many variations, it served its purpose for what it's worth and still stands as a strong architecture even against the new transformer models that we use today. The success of the transformer architecture wasn't just about its seemingly superior design, but really in how much public attention it got that led to huge funding that allowed the architecture to meet its full potential. OpenAI and BERT successfully captured the public's heart, executed well in making transformers super scalable and useful. So looking at transformers, the technical ceiling could certainly be higher compared to recurrent neural networks by design, but their success in implementation really jumpstarted the era of transformers that we are experiencing today. With that said, let's go over some challenges that the transformer architecture overcame. Keep in mind that these are limitations of the vanilla transformers, which are the basic transformer models that kicked off public's interest, starting with a quadratic memory complexity. Although transformers are scalable when it comes to training, it's not so scalable when it comes to compute. Because every token needs to be compared with every other tokens in a sentence, if the length of the sentence doubles, the compute required to process this quadruples. In computer science terms, we call this O of n squared complexity. On the other hand, the recurrent neural network that we saw earlier scales linearly in compute, meaning that doubling the sentence size equally doubles space needed to store that information. Going back to transformers, maybe you might be thinking, this seems like an overkill to have pairing for every single word in the entire input. The architecture of transformers did mature over time to get around the limitations of quadratic memory complexity by reducing the burden of pairing all tokens. For example, there's been some interesting techniques such as being more selective by grouping the inputs in different parts or just approximating pairs that just have fewer dimensions. So different variants of transformers were brought forward, but they remain somewhat unpopular still because of the quality trade-off as a side effect. For now, thankfully, the industry is so heavily funded that the public would rather leave the AC running to keep the room cold, essentially paying for high compute to maintain higher accuracy. Another technique is making the inference more efficient by essentially fusing frequently occurring operations. Traditionally, when it comes to searching for how one word relates to another, the mechanism involves using that word to compare against every other word and finding the weight value vectors to sum. This is a lot of steps and repetition. So this entire operation can be fused into single command, similar to running multiple Excel functions as one macro, which can lead to huge performance gain. This technique is known as flash attention. Let's jump to the next limitation, which is diminishing returns with large context window. So the problem arises when it comes to the size of the input or the context window. Context window is essentially the size of the input that it can see at once. And here's the challenge with the context window. As the size of the context window grows, the transformer's ability to focus its attention gets diluted, meaning that as the permutation of how each word can relate to another grows, the model's ability to sift through the entire attention score diminishes. For example, if you're given a palette where your palette represents how one word can relate to the rest of the paragraph, if that palette now contains hundreds of variations of the color blue and you're asked to choose just blue, the task becomes much harder. Not because you lack options per se, but because you have too many similar ones competing for attention. Thankfully, there have been some notable techniques to overcome this challenge by biasing harder on recent data and efficiently updating the weights using gates, and also just having better pattern recognition in the context window for more selective information gathering. This was demonstrated in Meta's model, which was released as an open source. Moving on to another weakness, reasoning tasks. Let's say the sentence, "I saw Nathan under the fig tree," was encoded by a transformer. Let's say you wanted to ask a simple question like, was the person under the fig tree the one being seen or the one doing the seeing? Now, the answer to us might seem very easy because you can sequentially reason that Nathan is under the fig tree and Nathan was being seen by another person. Nathan, therefore, was the one being seen. And chaining these logics together gets us to the correct answer. But transformers are not naturally good at tasks that require chaining multiple logical steps. While they're very good at capturing the statistical correlation between words, they struggle with reasoning through logical and symbolic thinking. Even a question as simple as 2y minus 4 equals 10 might be challenging, especially if the model wasn't trained with symbolic datasets with problem-solving skills like these. Because as we've learned, the transformer model inherently tries to find a relationship between tokens in a given sentence, but not necessarily in thinking through the logical steps like we've seen. Thankfully, techniques like chain of thought prompting were introduced, where examples of how to actually break down a problem into multiple steps is fed into the context so that the model doesn't just jump to the final answer, but actually thinks through the problem in the manner that we are actually guiding. Now, the materials covered so far are talking more about the transformer model as a concept rather than how it actually works under the hood. After browsing through YouTube, I found that there are a lot of really good materials out there covering the inner workings of how the transformer model actually work, and frankly, would do a better job than I would. But if you like a part two of this video, having my personal take on how the transformer model actually works step by step, please comment below and give me your feedback, and I'd be happy to make that content as long as it drives value to the community.